Page 22. Chapter 4. Finally, one dark November night, I completed my work. I collected my instruments and gave life to the being that lay at my feet. By the light of the candle, I saw the eyes of the creature open. It breathed hard, then made quick movements of its legs and arms. How can I describe my emotions when I saw this disaster that with such endless work and care I had tried to create? I had selected his features as beautiful. Beautiful? Great God! His yellow skin only just covered the muscles and veins beneath. He had shiny black hair. His teeth were pearly white. But these good features only made a more unpleasant contrast with his watery eyes, his lined face and straight black lips. I had worked hard for nearly 2 years. But now that I had finished, the beauty of the dream had disappeared. Horror and disgust filled my heart. I rushed out of the room and lay on my bed and tried to forget about my creation. But when I awoke in the night, by the yellow light of the moon, I saw the miserable monster I had created. He stood by my bed and looked at me. His mouth opened, and he made a sound I could not understand, and grinned. I rushed past him and spent the rest of the night walking up and down nervously outside. At 6 o'clock, I went out into the wet grey streets, terrified of meeting the creature at every corner. I hurried on, soaked by the pouring rain. I came to an inn where coaches from other places stopped. To my surprise, a Swiss coach stopped, and Henry Clerval got out. "My dear Frankenstein," he said, "I'm so glad you were here exactly when I arrived." I was delighted to see Clerval, my dear childhood friend. He brought back memories of my father, Elizabeth, and all those scenes of home that were important to me. In a moment I forgot my horror and misery. For the first time in many months, I felt calm and happy. We walked to my apartment, while Henry talked about our friends and families. "But, my dear Frankenstein," he continued, "how thin and pale you are, as if you had been up for several nights." "You are right," I replied. "Recently I have been so busy with one project that I have not allowed myself to rest. But it is finished now, and finally I am free." I shook as we walked. I thought the creature might still be in my apartment, and I feared that Henry would see him. So I was delighted to find the apartment empty. We had breakfast, but I could not sit still. I jumped up, clapped my hands and laughed aloud. "Victor," Henry cried, "don't laugh like that. How ill you are. What is the matter?"
"Don't ask me," I cried, putting my hands over my eyes. "Save me, save me."
This was the start of a nervous fever, which kept me in my room for several months. Henry was my only nurse. During my illness, the monster was always before my eyes, and I talked madly about him. Slowly I recovered, and by the following spring I felt much better. "Dearest Clerval," I said one morning, "how very good you are to me. Instead of studying, you have spent the whole winter in my sick room. How can I repay you?"
"Get well as fast as you can," he replied, "and write a letter to your father and Elizabeth. They would be happy to receive a letter in your own handwriting."
"Of course, I will," I said.
"Well, since you feel so happy," he answered, "perhaps you would like to see this letter from Elizabeth. It has been here for some days."
The letter from Elizabeth said she was delighted to hear of my recovery and hoped I would write soon. She told me that my father was very well and that my brother Ernest was now 16 and wanted to become a soldier. My youngest brother William was now tall and attractive, with blue eyes and curly hair. She ended by saying how grateful they were that Henry had looked after me so well. Later, I introduced Henry to my university professors. I was embarrassed when both Mr. Waldman and Mr. Kremper talked highly of my work, but wanting to forget everything that had brought me to my nervous state and the creation of that monster, I abandoned my previous studies. Instead, I chose to follow Henry and his studies of Oriental languages. I had planned to return to Geneva in the autumn, but I didn't want to leave Clerval on his own in a strange place. And then the winter snows came and the roads were blocked. In May of the following year, Henry and I went on a walking tour of the Ingolstadt region, spending 2 weeks exploring the area. It was a very happy time, with much good conversation too, and I returned to Ingolstadt healthy and full of energy.